ladies and gentlemen. You are now tuned into the Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name is Terry Tackett, and at this point now, I'll turn it over to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
And hello, Terry. How are you, buddy?
Doing great.
Good week we've had. We've had a nice sunny day today. We've got a bunch of cement work done in the church. I'm kind of happy about it. We're trying to make things a little more convenient. Especially some of the people in wheelchairs and moving back and forth. We've got this, we always have this nice big grassy area where the sign is that's not real grassy. It has a tendency to get beat down because people cut through and bushes and stuff there. And it's really a non-usable space. So we decided to, they were doing all that work in Prospect on the street so that we just take it out and level it off and pour cement, and praise God, we got it done for a very good price, and some people stepped up, and it's all taken care of. So praise God for that. Good to be here tonight, and you can call me at the church at 740-494-2222 at Community Christian Fellowship. We're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Right now our split service times are, we have one at 9:30, and we also have one at 10:45. And kind of keeping everybody distanced there and doing that as we can. And we've gone back to a Sunday evening, 6:30. But the Sunday evening service is not usually real heavily attended, so it's kind of great. We kind of have a Bible study atmosphere doing that. And then we are at 6:30. We're doing a study right now on holiness on Wednesday night at 6:30 at the church. The ladies are doing a study called Fervent, which they're actually doing outside. The weather's been great for it. And then at the Sodder's house in Delaware, they're having another group at 7 o'clock where I believe they're in part of Revelation right now. I'm not going to swear to it. But anyway, those are some of the things going on. A lot going on. Get ready to start school back. That means all those backpacks will start back up. Last year we had 270. I don't know where we'll be this year. A lot of parents are not sending their kids back right away. Some are doing other things, teaching them online. I'm sure it'll all come out in the wash. What do you think? Hey, I heard that they suspended Big Ten football. What do you think of that?
Well, I heard a statistic on the way in, and it said they were talking about some of the other schools that were going back. They used Notre Dame, for an example.
Yes.
Notre Dame brought 11,000, I think they said, back to the campus. 33 positive tests out of 11,000.
So what do you think of that? I mean, what's that percentage-wise?
Well, the guy broke it down. He said that's like 0.9999999.
Right, percent.
Yeah.
So it's nothing.
Yeah.
And I, you know, one thing I'm not going to do tonight, I promise, I'm not going to get on the COVID thing.
Same here, but I just thought that was kind of interesting. And his observation was he thinks that they may have jumped the gun a little bit. That's what he...
Well, it doesn't sound like they did.
You know, yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know.
Because what his point was to the whole thing was that, excuse me, I think for this upcoming football season, that Notre Dame, joined a conference, and that conference is still going forward.
Mm-hmm. There's several that are, and I think they're going to start falling like dominoes, honestly. I'm going to be real surprised if we have high school football this fall. I really am. It's kind of sad for the kids that are practicing hard, and I've got one grandson. It's his senior year, and there's a lot of that going on.
My nephew's a junior.
You know, I talked to a guy this morning that was on the cement crew out on the job in the street in front of the church, and he was telling me that his son had been wrestling since he was 5 years old, and his goal was to wrestle in the state tournament when he was a senior in high school. And right before tournaments, they shut the tournaments down last year because of COVID, or this year. And he didn't get to wrestle as a senior in the state tournament that he finally made. That was his goal all through high school. But you know what?
Poor kid, man.
Some of these people are going to come out tougher because I'll tell you what, adversity will make you stronger. It truly will. If you handle it right, if you look at it right. And if you look at woe is me, and, you know, it's kind of like a story I've told before about, you know, what do we do with adversity? What do we do when things change in our life? You see some people that things change in their life and they pick up and they move forward and make a great life, and other people just can't get past it. I used to know a guy, I won't mention his name, but he was on a high school basketball team when in a smaller, I would imagine, a D, I don't know, I imagine he was Division II, III, anyway. And he was great. He was the star player of the school, but he wasn't quite good enough to go to a college. You know what I mean? He was really good, but they just didn't, he just wasn't good enough. No colleges wanted him. And I met him, I suppose he was, had been out of school probably close to 20 years. And this guy was still wearing a, walk around town wearing a basketball uniform, stuck in his senior year. Seriously. I mean, it wasn't the same uniform every day, but that's what his attire was. Basketball shorts, tube socks up to his knees, tennis shoes, a sleeveless jersey, and he was stuck. Walk around when he was talking to you, he'd act like he was dribbling and taking shots, and you know, it's sad, but you know, there's got to be more to life than that. We've got to pick up and move on from adversity, and we get so many times it's easy to get stuck. I want to talk about something different tonight. I want to talk about something I've mentioned before, but I've actually never did an entire show on this. And, you know, we've been talking about lots of things. We've talked about COVID. We've talked about society. We've talked about young people. We've talked about, we try to stay away from politics a little bit, don't we, Terry?
Yeah.
Yeah. But we get there sometimes. Uh-huh. Tonight I want to talk about putting others before ourselves and doing things for other people. And namely, I want to talk about senior citizens. And people think, oh, Pastor, you just care about senior citizens because you are one. But I'll tell you a funny story about that. I'm not sure I really am a senior citizen. I don't know what age that starts. But the truth is that, you know, when all this stuff started with the virus and whatnot, we had all these concerns about seniors and senior shut-ins. I'm always concerned in the summer about heating seniors and are they cool enough, that kind of thing. And I'm always telling everyone, take care of your seniors, take care of your senior. I need to be checking on seniors. And then I realized one day, whoops, I think I am a senior. So, but I don't think of myself as one when I'm reaching out to help. You know what I mean? It's kind of odd. But I guess I am one. I guess my kids certainly some think I am. And young people probably do for sure. But anyway, a guy said something interesting to me today. I was talking to the new pastor at the Methodist Church in Prospect, and we were talking, and of course we got on the subject about the virus a little bit. And he said, "Let me ask you a question." Now, this is Terry. I bet this is something that's never been posed to you, because with all the talk out there, this has never been posed to me. He said, at the high death rate of seniors, okay, with the COVID virus, and we know there is, what if that were reversed and it was the height, the death rate that was that high? This virus is mostly affecting little children. He said this country would be going nuts. I got to thinking about that. And you know what? I think he was right. I think, and I hate to say this, that as long as it's affecting mostly senior citizens, a lot of people kind of put it out of mind and aren't concerned that much. Now, I suppose there are several reasons for that, one being that, you know, well, they've lived their life, they're old, that kind of a thing. But I think that we've lost the importance of being a senior, the importance of sitting and listening to our older people talk about the reality of life. I had a guy named Josh today that was pouring cement at the church for us, and he was telling me about his grandpa. His grandpa's not well, and he's older. And he said, man, he goes, I just used to love sitting around as a kid and listening to my grandpa tell me all about life and stories and his jobs and work. And I think, wow, what a wonderful thing. You know, I love the same kind of thing. And I think we're missing a lot of that today. The Bible tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion before God is loving orphans and widows and keeping yourself unspotted by the world. Isn't that interesting? All the things that we can do, all the things that churches hold up as the great, this is the rock we stand on in what we do, all the money poured into music, our worship leaders in churches make as much as the pastors do in many cases today, as far as being support. I mean, and I'm not talking about that's bad. I'm just saying that they're held up in that regard of how important it is. I want to ask a question out there. If we're paying, if we have paid staff in a church, if a church is big enough to do that, is the person that takes care of senior ministry in your church, shut-ins, that type of thing, are they as important to you as the worship leader or the youth group leader? Are they? Good question, isn't it? God still got them here for a reason. I'm a firm believer that when God's done with us, we're out of here. And that's the truth. When there's no more reason for us to be here, we're gone. And those people are still here. And are we taking advantage of what God has given in them in our life and what we can learn from them? I highly regard even my siblings that are older than me and the things that they'll tell me. And I love to sit and talk and kind of get nostalgic about stories when we were younger and things our parents did and family did and activities maybe in church or in the community. And just looking back and realizing and you know, as odd as it may seem, I can look backwards and feel hope. I mean, everyone says look forward for hope. I can look backwards because when I think about that, I think, boy, isn't there a way we can just return to that? Isn't there a way we can just reach back and get some of that? And I think there is. I think, though, that we're not going to do it. I can't accomplish a lot myself. And you, Terry, can't accomplish a lot yourself. I can't go out and impact everyone in Marion. I can't impact everyone in Ohio, the country. But one thing I can do is I can influence and impact the person right next to me. And if I can try to bring them down to earth a little bit, talk about what's important in life, about relationships, about family. Another thing that comes out in my thought process is joy. And where do we get joy? Where does joy come from? I think everybody out there wants joy in their life. They really do. They want to be happy. Happiness is something that everyone aspires to have. But there's something called momentary happiness. And then there's something called lasting joy. Momentary happiness is, it can be brought on by a feeling. Oh, great, we get to go boating tomorrow. You know, oh, wonderful, you know, great, guess where we're going? Guess, man, we're going out to Bob's Ribs and Barn Busters, whatever the case is. Hey, my friends are coming in from so-and-so. We get excited about that, but that's not going to last. You know, it's great to go out on the beach and have a day at the beach. Oh man, I finally lay in here, listen to the waves coming in and out and crashing, and that warm sand and that warm sun. And oh, what's that going to last you, a week if you're lucky? But what are we doing for happiness all the time? And you know the best way to be happy all the time is to do something for other people. See, that's what God is talking about in James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion, being taken care of widows and orphans and keep it unspotted by the world. Do something for someone else. You want to have a great day? Do something for someone else. There was a story that I had to repost today that somebody wrote. I don't know whether it was true or not, but it was a good story anyway. So I'm going to share it as my memory allows me. There may be some lapses in here because it is my memory we're talking about. Anyway, this guy's a cab driver, and he goes to pick up a fare, and he's honking a horn in front of this apartment building, and no one comes out. He's just getting ready to pull away, and he thought, maybe I better go knock at the door, make sure, you know, they can. So he goes up, he knocks at the door, and he hears this, just a minute, and, you know, then he hears this thump and a dragging noise, and finally this little old lady, 90 years old, answers the door, and that thump and dragging was her little suitcase bag. And she says, I'll be right with you. And she says, can you grab my bag? And they're going down the stairs, and he's helping her down the stairs. And she tells him she's on her way to hospice. She said, I don't have any family anymore. Everyone's gone. All my kids are gone. And she said, my doctor tells me I have a very short time, so I'm going to go to the hospice now. And so he's helping her, and they get in the car. And she says, excuse me, she said, would you mind on the way to this address stopping at, driving through downtown, the old, you know, the downtown of the city she's in. And he says, well, you know, he said, that's not the shortest route. She said, I know. And he goes, yeah, I'm sure I will. So as they're going into downtown, she's looking out the window. She goes, oh, look at that. She said, that building over there used to be a dance hall. That's the first place my husband and I had our first dance. And this is the school I went to. And she'd be keep looking at intersections. She'd talk about this. And he said he just reached up and dropped the meter and just shut it off. And he drove her around for 2 hours while she reminisced and talked. And he's just intently listening to her. And she's seeing such joy in all this and smiling and talking and all this stuff. And finally she says, well, I'm getting kind of tired now. Can you just take me there now? So they get to the facility, the hospice facility, and they were kind of waiting on her. When he got there, they came out with a wheelchair to usher her in, and she said, how much do I owe? He says, ma'am, he says, nothing. It was a joy to be with you. And she said, well, thank you for giving an old lady one last time of wonderful joy. And he said, when he pulled away, he said he drove around for the rest of his shift and didn't pick up any fares. He just thought to himself about her life, about life, about the things that are important, about what it meant to that lady to go see all the places she'd been. She didn't know she was going to get up that day and have that happen, right, and that she was going to get to do that. But see, God uses a person to do that kind of thing. And if we open our hearts to do those kind of things, God will give us those opportunities to do them. Now, I have to tell you something. What if that lady had a, and it said this thing, what if that lady had a picked up a jerk, or the cabbie had been a jerk. What if he had just blown his horn and then drove away and not picked her up? What if he'd have picked her up and said, ma'am, I really don't have time to, we're going straight to that place. No, a guy picked her up that was willing to listen and had compassion. And here's what's really cool about that is as she peacefully and with joy in her heart went into this hospice, knowing that she could close out her chapter in life, he went on in life, and he'll always remember that day and that time with the little old lady that he helped. Now, I ask you, is it worth it to help other people that need? You better believe it is. The simplest thing can fill a heart with joy. And we miss so much of that today in all of our hustle and bustle and rush and buying and trying to get healthy. You know, the body tells us, you know, not to fear what can kill the body, but fear what can kill the soul. And we're so busy trying to keep our bodies healthy and taking all, you know, I take vitamins. I mean, we take vitamins. We take, you know, oh, we got to do this and that and that and this and this and that. And we got to take care of this body. Folks, I got to tell you something honestly. This body's decaying by the day, and it's going to rot and go away. You cannot stop it. Let's take care of the heart. And from what the more I read and understand Scripture and what we're to do, especially as the Apostle Paul talked about it in the New Testament, is to love other people, help other people. That's where we're going to cure that heart issue. Put other people before ourselves. I was thinking today, I couldn't help but thinking today as the excavators came in yesterday, and bless their hearts, they did a wonderful job for us. And these guys, and we got this work done very, very reasonably. And they tore all that out and leveled everything out, and we put in cement that's all level with the walks now that goes to the church steps. And I couldn't help thinking, as I looked at that today, what a blessing that's going to be to people that are in a wheelchair, or people that are, you know, getting older, how much nicer that's going to be and easier for them to get in and out. And you know that's worth it all. People say, what are you spending that money for? It was fine the way it was. No, it wasn't. Because we had people that it wasn't working very well for. And, you know, just those kind of things, you know, checking on people that need checked on. You know, I've got a dear friend here on the other side of Marion, and she lost her husband. Well, she didn't lose him. She knows where he's at. He's in heaven. He passed away about, I think it's been 3 years now. Time just flies. It's going on three if it hadn't been. But anyway, she's alone a lot at home. And that's difficult. And I called on her on my way here. I called her just to check on her, because you do that. I put myself in her shoes. It's not because I got to call this person. No, I care about her, and I put myself in her shoes. And wouldn't it be nice for me to know how she's doing? And it wouldn't be nice for her to hear from the pastor to ask her how she is doing. And, you know, I think that we need more of that. Too many times with our senior citizen, I've seen this happen in churches over and over and over and over again throughout my lifetime. Not churches I've been in, but I've seen it on the outside a lot, is that churches will only groom the seniors with enough necessity and fervor to make sure that they get a sizable amount of money left to them when the person passes. You know what I mean? Oh, we can't miss communion at their house because, by the way, and these churches, they do. They take it, and, you know, I can honestly say with great joy that we at our church have never been left a big chunk of money from anyone in a church, in the church. Isn't that wonderful? And that tells me that we haven't groomed them to get it. Praise God. Now, it doesn't mean that we haven't loved our seniors and we haven't been there for them. But that's not the kind of relationship we have. It's a relationship of love. You know, they need to do with whatever they have, with whatever God leads them to do. Some of them have family. And I'll be honest with you, for the most part, our church, our particular church, we've never sought people out with large sums of money, as we should never do. And we don't have a lot of people of great means in our church anyway. We have a lot of people, a lot of our elderly people are those month-to-month Social Security people. And boy, they're wonderful people, and every church could stand those to have the, would love to have those people, I would think, but no, it's not something we do for personal gain. It's not something we do with drudgery. I think that it's something we do with care and love, and I hope that we do. There's nothing I like better than to see the relationship between a child and an adult. It's something they used to do a lot. I got this example from a church that did it. And now people are really getting strange about who's around their kids. I mean, they really are. It shouldn't happen in the church. But this particular church, what they did was, they took all the senior citizens in the church, and they took all the children in the church, and they were pretty good balance, okay, number-wise. And they put all their names in a bag, and they shook it up and passed them out to where all the kids got a senior citizen and all the senior citizens got a kid. And it was up to that child and their parents help them, of course, to remember that senior citizen on their birthday, on anniversaries, holidays, those kind of things, and just in general when they're sick. And it was up to the senior citizen to remember the child. And what happened was that all of a sudden you saw these dear older people and these little springy kids developing a relationship with each other. And what a wonderful thing, because not only do the younger ones help keep the older ones vibrant and alive and looking forward to seeing someone that Sunday, but you've got the little kids that are listening intently to what they have to say. Now, we have been very blessed in our church with several old people that love our kids and love the little kids, and the kids run up to them and they hug them, and you know what a blessing that is. I know my grandson, Liam, every time Jeanette's at church, man, he's got to go up. He just stands there waiting on his piece of gum. But we used to have this guy in our church by the name of Leonard Madison. Leonard Madison. He wore his hair and beard like Colonel Sanders. Us kids, we called him Colonel Sanders. But Leonard Madison, he was a machinist by trade. And this was years ago. I was a little kid when I was growing up. Back in Columbus, and Leonard's hands were all cracked and black cracks from, you know, the machine work, and not everybody tried to manicure like they do today. But he'd stand there, and he had his lifesavers in his coat pocket, and he'd come out, and little kids would come running up to Leonard when they came in the door, and he knew what they wanted. They wanted a lifesaver, but he'd hold it out, and he'd take his nail, and he'd pop that next lifesaver up, and he'd say, "Now, who's the lifesaver of your soul?" And they'd say, "Jesus." And he'd say, "Okay," and give him a lifesaver. Next kid come up, "Can't give you one. Who's the lifesaver of your soul?" And, you know, that was week after week after week after week. Kids loved him. And he was giving them an honest message that was sticking in the head. And, you know, those are the relationships that we need to have. There's so much to learn from our elderly, our senior citizens. And, you know, I just love them to death. And I think that we need to recapture that in this country. I think that we've lost a great deal of love and respect for those people. And I don't know what there is to gain by not having them involved in our lives. I don't know what there is to gain by sending them away. I've said this before many times that one of my pet peeves is the commercial about a place for mom. It's kind of like, let's put mom on a shelf somewhere. And we found a place for mom. Second shelf, third item down. You know, now we can finally sell our house. You know, and no, I understand that people need to be in those. There needs to be sometimes a place that can take care of our parents when there's an issue, or we have it impossible to do it at home, and for whatever reason we cannot do it. But the truth of the matter is, I think that sometimes in our society today, it's become a thing of convenience too easily to find the place for mom. And, you know, she doesn't affect our lifestyle. We don't have to stay home and take care of her. I know a lot of people that stay home right now and take care of her. And some come to mind right now immediately that are taking care of their in-laws or their parents. And it is a chore. It's work. But I think that it also can become a great joy as for the whole family if they're included in a family group. My sister Kath and her husband Dean. Dean's struggling with some muscular dystrophy that have gotten pretty bad. And her daughter, my niece Deanna, moved to North Carolina, and she bought a house with a beautiful basement area with a walkout, kind of like you'd walk out, like from the outside, it'd be like walking up to an apartment door. It's got a ravine behind it. And she did that with the intent of putting an apartment down there for them. And she did. And it's working out wonderfully. You know, everybody's part of the same family. They see each other. And she can be there to make sure they're okay. If they need help, there's that family. That's what families are supposed to do. And be there for advice. You know, I'm sure that Dee Dee, if she has something to ask, her mom's right there. You couldn't ask for anything better. I horribly miss the advice of my mother. Mom was a good ear for me, and a good confidant. And I think that so many seniors are, if we just allow them to be and listen to them. They're not irrelevant. I think that we need to show them all the due respect that we can, and we need to understand. Man, they've been through it. You know, we still have a lot of seniors out there today that are with us that have been through the Great Depression. And boy, did they learn a lot. And they've been through, you know, a lot of our seniors now that are, you know, in the between the 65 and 75, 80-year-old range are people that actually were Vietnam vets. And, you know, that was a rough time. You know, I can remember, I remember one day in a classroom in fifth grade when a girl in my classroom got some word, and she just broke down. Her brother had been killed in Vietnam, and she had gotten word on that, and so much of that happened, and so many of those guys came back with not only an unbelievable post-traumatic stress from what went on, but they didn't have the services available that have been available to a lot of the guys coming back today. And it was very hard on so many of them. That was a rough place. If you ever have a chance to sit down and talk to a vet that will actually talk about it, that's another thing. They don't always like to talk about it. But if you have one close in your family that will talk about it, let them tell you some of the stories of that jungle over there in those cities and what went on. And not to hear the crude and the worst of it, but just to get a better idea of just how rough it was. And, you know, it's just like, in World War II, you were taking boys that were fresh out of high school. Some weren't out of high school, you know. And a couple months later, man, they're out there they're out there taking bullets and firing back and you know, fearing for their lives. I mean, we don't see that kind of. Well, we do today because guys go, of course, to Afghanistan but it's a whole different story. Sometimes when you listen to some of the older ones and tell about how things were and what went on, and it's just amazing. I find as a Christian, you can't beat the knowledge of the old saints. The people in the church have been walking with the Lord their whole life. They got great advice, and they can tell you things in the Bible that have made their lives so much better, and things they found that have helped them to get through things and to be happy, and it's just so important to do that. I encourage parents to let your grandkids spend time with their grandparents. That is so important, depending on the grandparents. We could have some, you know, I mean, we live in a different time, and but seek the knowledge out of some of our elderly people. They're very intelligent, and they've been around, you know, they're worth listening to. And I think that we miss a great opportunity to have happiness in our own life when we seek our own personal happiness and don't include other people, because the Bible makes it clear that if we're going to be happy, we have to reach out and help other people. Help that kid that's hungry. Help that kid that doesn't have a new bike. What is wrong with finding a kid that doesn't have a bike and going and giving them one sometime? Right? Which, by the way, I know that Jeff's Bicycle Shop is helping to sponsor this show, and that's one of the things they do. We work through them, and he kind of tries to funnel us some bikes, and we try to funnel them back out the door, the kids that need them, and you know, why not? Why, you know, not everything that we do in the world today we have to make money on. You know, a happy soul lasts a lot longer than a wallet full of money. And there are so many things that we can do to help people. Make things easier for people. How about, you know, look around town, find a senior citizen in your town that maybe doesn't have a very good handrail coming off their porch. Or maybe their steps need fixed. Maybe whatever. Maybe their windows haven't been washed in 10 years because they can't do it anymore. Maybe their garden needs weeded. I remember a few years ago, we were doing a cleanup time in the town, which we do with a bunch of youth that come in. And there was a house in town that had been, it was empty, and it was in foreclosure or something to that effect. And we were over there, you know, cutting weeds and cleaning up and doing all this stuff. And looked over, and here's this little old lady, and she's trying, she just kept looking at what the kids are doing. She kept looking at her weeds, and I knew what she was thinking. And say, hey, can we weed your flower beds in your garden? You would? And you know, she wasn't about to ask, but she was just thrilled, you know, offering the kids something to drink and just thrilled, just that little bit of help. Reminds me of a funny story. When I moved on Park Street years ago, across the street from me was a house that since been completely redone. But it was this house, and a lady lived there. She was all much, much older. And the house hadn't been painted in years. And she had these bushes in the front of her house that had literally grown so big that they were above the second story window and they were sticking out across the sidewalk. And no one had made her do anything with it. They just kind of went around, made a mud path through the grass. Well, I went over one day and I knocked at the door and I told her, I said, excuse me, ma'am, I said, if you don't mind, I said, I'm going to cut your bushes down for you and clean all this up. And she said, well, I don't have any money. I said, I never said I wanted any money. I said, I was going to cut it down and do it for you. And she said, oh, she said, that's so kind of you. And this is the funny part. I said, well, I understand how it is. I said, I have an elderly mother and she needs help all the time, too. And sometimes you just can't get to things that you used to take care of. She goes, oh, no, honey. She says, I didn't take care of this place when I could. So, hey, at least she was honest. Yeah. But she, but no, and I cleaned it up, and she was just thrilled. You know, it's amazing. All of a sudden, these people will come out and start sitting on their porch again because they can see stuff, and they're not embarrassed. And, you know, try it. Get out there and help people. Show people that you love them and care about them. You know, this is something that crosses political borders. This is something that crosses all kinds of lines. I mean, we can all do. Let's take joy in helping other people. We don't have to help people based on who we are and by race, color, creed, anything. Just help people, for crying out loud. You know, if you see somebody that needs it, if you see somebody, I mean, how many times in the winter do you go out and you see an elderly person, they're trying to start their car and it won't start, or they got a flat tire. You just drive on by, oh, they'll call AAA. What if they have no money to call AAA? You know, stop and help people. It's so important thing to do. And, you know, check on them in the summertime. Fans, air conditioners, whatever you can do with people. And understand that you have to be many, many times, you have to be patient with older people because they can be odd. I can be odd. My wife tells me the older I get, the odder I'm, more odd I'm becoming. But and in one particular couple, we wanted to go put air conditioner in their window. And they were adamant we didn't do it. And it made no sense. Why don't you want air conditioner in your window? Well, they felt that they had what they had budgeted for electric, and they thought the window air conditioner would cost too much. So they didn't want to do that. So there's reasons people do things sometimes that we really don't understand. It doesn't hurt every now and then for some ladies to get together and go into an elderly lady's house and say, can I clean house for you? Can I clean out your refrigerator? Do you know how many elderly people go to the hospital from food poisoning? Because they lose track of how long something's in a refrigerator. You know, and that can I tell you too, if you have an aunt, a mother, a grandmother, someone, periodically go through the refrigerator, look at dates on stuff, because they can end up deathly sick in the hospital because they're eating something that has, well, didn't I just have that yesterday? Yeah, yesterday of 6 months ago. And no, really. And you know, you gotta watch those things. But, you know, the things I'm talking about right now are things that should come normal to every one of us to do. But because of dear old Satan, and I truly mean that, you know, Satan loves to keep us busy. He loves to keep us off balance. He loves to keep us worrying about this and worrying about that so that we can't do the things that we truly need to do and need to be done. And a lot of these things are normal things we would normally think in days gone by. But in today's busy society, people just remain so obscure that no one gets to them. And today, unfortunately, their lifeline is usually that television. And there's two really bad things that happen on that television. The first one is televangelists that take all their money. Unfortunately, that gets to be their friend, their church, and their only hope. And so many of those guys will literally prey on the elderly for their money. And you're talking to a pastor, so you know that that's not, so I don't like to say negative things about the church, but it's true. And you know, I want to tell you, if you're out there, you get an elderly person plugged into a local church, and they won't need those people on TV that are going to fleece them, because so many of them do. You can say anything you want about those people, but when they're living in the ones that are living in multi-million-dollar mansions and fleecing elderly people and taking every dime they have. I've been involved. I've been in these people's houses, and I see where their mail goes. I've talked to people that have looked at their parents' checkbook, their jaws dropped. Oh, here's where all your money went. And you know, that's one. Second one that really bothers me is the news media. And they play on the fear of people. And these poor people will sit there and listen to this steady diet lately of COVID's killing you, COVID's killing you, COVID's killing you. The numbers are up. And these poor elderly people are sitting there hearing this over and over. They're scared to death, Terry. They are scared to death. You know, if that's your mom, if that's your grandmother, go hug them and love them and tell them it's okay. They're going to be just fine. You know, you do what you can to be cautious and precautious, but you're going to be okay. And if you get scared, you call us, and here's my number. Make sure they have a cell phone and a way to get to you. Those little jitterbugs cost $19 a month. You know, there's no reason a senior citizen shouldn't have a way to get a hold of somebody in the family. So I guess that's my soapbox tonight. And I just want to encourage people to, you know, just love one another and love widows and orphans. Love our elderly. Take advantage of the wonderful things that they can teach you, because there's so much of it. They're important. They're truly important. And you know, here's the thing: when they're gone, you can't replace them. You know, when they die, you can't go back and talk to them and say, "Oh man, I'm sorry I didn't talk to you more. Sorry I didn't spend time with you." You know how many times I go back and I wish that there's something I want to ask my mom about a family member that she's the only one that's going to know, and I can't ask her anymore. Don't let that happen. That happens, and let them know that they're important. Let them know their lives were important, and that you, when you're asking them about their life, you're telling them that you see value in who they were and what they did. And we need to do that, folks. And definitely share the love of Jesus Christ with them. It doesn't matter if you're 10 or 110. Jesus has his arms open, and he's waiting for you to accept him as Lord and Savior. I am Pastor Steve Whitaker. I am the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. We are at 209 East Water Street. Give me a call anytime, 740-494-2222. Leave a message. I will be happy to get back in touch with you. Also, come and see us at any one of our services. Just love to see you. Love to get you guys plugged in. We got a lot of ministries going in the church, a lot of different outreach to do. But it's more important than anything, we want to love you.
Don't be discouraged by the construction, right?
Don't be concerned. You know what, though? We're getting our sidewalks poured tomorrow, the rest of them, and the streets going in first of next week. But all the sidewalks, so we'll have fresh sidewalks in the church this week. Finally, get back to our handicap ramp and that kind of stuff. Praise God for that. Yep. Hey. Love you all. Take care. We'll see you.
Take care, guys. Bye.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LP.